This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, November 14th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. House GOP aims to push through stopgap farm bill extension. ARS reduces number of ASF genotypes, and the Brazilian soy crop downgraded. House GOP looks to push through stopgap farm bill extension. The House GOP stopgap spending bill looks to be gaining momentum despite opposition from some hardline conservatives. The continuing resolution introduced over the weekend includes a year-long extension of the 18 farm bill. Lawmakers need to pass some kind of mechanism to avoid a government shutdown by this weekend. The most positive sign for the continuing resolution yesterday was that neither House Democrat nor Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer immediately ruled it out. House Democratic leader said they would be discussing the proposal with members. Schumer said House Speaker Mike Johnson, quote, seems to be moving in our direction by advancing a CR that does not include the highly partisan cuts that Democrats have warned against. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called the House CR a responsible measure that will keep the lights on and avoid a harmful lapse in federal spending. Now take note, GOP Representative Andy Harris, a House Freedom Caucus member who chairs the Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee, told CNBC the laddered CR definitely changes the way we do things in Washington. Harris reportedly proposed the CR's two-step funding concept. The measure would extend funding for some departments, including USDA, to January 19th, most funded until February 2nd. The idea is to keep pressure on Congress into next year to enact individual appropriation bills. Researchers identify fewer strains of African swine fever. Researchers at USDA's Agriculture Research Service have reclassified the number of African swine fever virus, or ASFV, strains from 25 different genotypes to just 6 after re-evaluating the previously available virus DNA sequences. ARS researchers reanalyzed more than 12,000 historical and current virus isolates produced from ASFV labs worldwide. Senior ARS scientist Douglas Gladue says that means there is less diversity of ASF virus affecting communities across the globe. This information is important as it may reduce the number of vaccines previously thought to be needed to protect against all ASF genotypes, he said. Although the virus has not been found in domestic U.S., the economic impact on U.S. producers could result in up to $50 billion in revenue losses, that according to the Center for Agricultural and Rural Development. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. USDA announces $52 million for GusNIP. More than $52 million will be invested in the USDA's Gus Schumacher Nutrition Incentives Program, or GusNIP, to help improve access to fresh fruits and vegetables and increase dietary health. The bulk of the funding, $41.8 million, goes to 19 projects providing incentives at the point of purchase for eligible supplemental nutrition assistance program households. This includes several, quote, double up bucks state programs to provide a match with state funds with USDA allocations. Another $5.2 million is designated for 11 projects that, quote, demonstrate and evaluate the impact of fresh fruit and vegetable prescriptions. The new round also provides $7 million for training, technical assistance, and support services in what USDA called NTAE 2.0, a partnership between the Fair Food Network and the University of California, San Francisco. NTAE stands for the Nutrition Incentives Program Training, Technical Assistance, Evaluation, and Information. Brazilian soy crop downgraded on dry weather. Brazilian fields in the largest state of Mato Grosso are dry. The consulting firm Agrao says it's cutting its forecast production forecast for the country. The firm says it now sees total soybean production for Brazil only reaching 163.5 million metric tons, down from a previous forecast of 164.6. That entire 1.1 million ton cut is the result of problems in Mato Grosso. Agrao says it may cut its forecast again this month. Depending on the behavior of the climate, new cuts may be made in Mato Grosso's production estimate before the end of November, that due to the impact of hot and dry weather on the initial development of more recently planted crops, and also on more advanced areas which are already flowering and forming pods. The fact that a lot of farmers are having to replant is not a good sign, the firm said. Now, take note. Planting does continue, but at a historically low rate. Brazil's farmers have planted 61% of this year's crop. That, according to Agrao, the lowest level for this time of year since the 2020-21 marketing year. CO2 pipeline setbacks make power plant rules unworkable, NRECA says. The delay of one major carbon dioxide sequestration project and the cancellation of another show EPA's proposed power plant rules are infeasible, the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association told the agency in supplemental comments submitted yesterday. NRECA said the setbacks, the summit's delay of the project start date until 2026 for its proposed pipeline and Navigator CO2's cancellation of its project, quote, undermined EPA's already spurious projects for the readiness of carbon capture and sequestration as an adequately demonstrated and achievable technology. The permitting challenges and public opposition observed in the two recent developments are not unique to CO2 pipelines. As NRECA explained in its previous comments, similar obstacles will face developers in the pipeline infrastructure needed to support clean hydrogen. Rules EPA proposed in May rely heavily on CCS to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas and coal-fired plants. Peanut Group celebrates rising trade with Japan. Representatives from the American Peanut Council were in Japan last week to celebrate rising trade between the two countries. Japan dropped its 10% tariff on U.S. peanuts in 2020 as a part of the Japan-U.S. trade agreement that helped to push the country up to the fifth largest foreign market. The U.S. shipped a record 20,171 metric tons of peanuts to Japan in 2022. That's a value of $35.6 million, according to the American Peanut Council. Last week's official visit to Japan was important for the U.S. peanut industry for continued trade development in what is a consistently growing and promising market, Council President and CEO Richard Owen said in a statement. As Japanese consumers' hunger grows for peanuts and peanut products, we think the timing of our visit was vital. Finally, here's today's They Said It. EPA's expectation that sufficient pipeline infrastructure will be developed to transport carbon dioxide from units installing carbon capture and storage to enable compliance with the proposed rules is extremely unrealistic, if not impossible. That the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association in a letter asking EPA to withdraw proposed power plant rules. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, November 14th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.